also bring you greetings in Jesus' name. Are certainly thankful to be in the house of God. And I appreciated what we heard, the admonition, and certainly appreciated the devotional by Mike and in the spirit it was given. And just a very, very valid question. You know, what would we do different if Jesus would come to our house? What would we have different? And also, the Sunday school lesson was very informative. Brings out about the precious blood of Christ and what it should mean to us. I felt led today to share on loving the brotherhood. And I'm not sure what all will come, but I do have a burden in my heart about loving the brotherhood. I had shared a series of messages on our Anabaptist history, and that effort was to bring out a realization of where we come from and how our forefathers stood for the faith, the things that they believed in, and things that we still believe today to be true. And Brother Henry mentioned in our prayer room here, how would it be if we would have to buy our salvation with money? And I mentioned then that was quite a bit the reason that the Reformation started. When Martin Luther and Menno Simons and some of those saw that here were all these poor people having to put forth money to have their sins forgiven. So we certainly preach very different today about what it takes to be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And as Henry mentioned, come without money, without price. I'd like to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, and I would like to read this chapter in view of loving the brotherhood. The phrase "love the brotherhood" is in this chapter. And it is my concern as we go on forth into the future that we love each other fervently, as the Bible says. And it is a condition to get to heaven to love our brother. And Jesus says, you know, if you love me, love your brother. My own words there. But the gauge that I use for you, for me to know that you love me, is how much do you love your brother? And we have heard quite a bit from Henry lately about variations in churches, and churches maybe taking different routes, you know, from each other. And the question might come, you know, who is right? Or what is right? You know, how should we do things? And this is a question that is very relevant to our church today. And I'm hearing from some other churches that there's things that are coming in how you do things that spoils love for brotherhood, and they go in different directions, and it's like a wreck. Just the other evening, I talked to a young person that was telling about their situation of the ministers, all leaving except one. And he shared his heart on what he thinks the problem is. And I really felt for him. In looking at this chapter, when we look at the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, in all of us, the brotherhood is the body of Christ. And we realize there are hundreds, thousands maybe, of brotherhoods. A brotherhood is brethren, brothers and sisters who come together to one place to worship God. In Matthew chapter 16, it talks about, Jesus talks about that, of this little group that comes together and they talk about the things of God and they are concerned about agreeing on things. And that is so beautiful. That is brotherhood. And I'll read just a little bit of that. It's talking about erring members, you know, and then about telling it to the church. And then he goes on and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And he's talking about the church, the local church. Whatsoever ye shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And again, I say unto you, he adds to this, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Which is very clear here that when there is a gathering of people who love the Lord, that gathering of people, and they talk about things and they agree, God loves that. And he says, I will honor that. I will honor that agreement. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. He's dwelling in the brotherhood. It's his body. It's his flesh and bones. Now going to 1 Peter chapter 2, which actually we had also been gone, and I was a little bit mixed up as far as exactly what is our Sunday school lesson, so I didn't realize that the chapter I'd be reading is the lesson for next Sunday. But we'll go on as well. And there's so much that the Word of God holds that we can glean from it. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. And I'd like to say this in the context, read this in the context of brotherhood, of all standing together and being unified. And is there such a thing of being unified even if we have different opinions? We'll be addressing that. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. This cornerstone that was rejected, is that not the church? Is that not the body of Christ? Christ himself and his body? Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. All these words apply to the brotherhood. Who the brotherhood is, it describes who these people are that get together to worship and who love the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mike, the song about nearer my God to thee, it is nearer to Jesus Christ. And when we are nearer to Jesus Christ, we are nearer to each other, are we not? Which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. The good works that we do, and, you know, we're trying to be clear that the good works are not going to save us, but when we are saved, we will do those works. You can't be saved and then sit around and just do nothing or not act like you're saved. It doesn't work that way. We cannot, in other words, look at the things we do, the way we do things, which is culture, by the way. When we talk about culture, it's just simply the way people do things. And there are so many different cultures throughout the world, so many different ways to do things for the children of God, for brotherhoods to do things differently from each other. There are so many different ways to do things. How do you make sense of all of it? But we'll have a little more on that later. But here it talks about conversation. In our Sunday school lesson, we read about conversation. It says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. And in all manner of conversation is not just talking. It is on what you display. It's how you look. It is how you do things. You do your things in light of, because you're a saved person. So you do things because of that. And I realize there's lots of many ways maybe to do one thing. But we must abide by scriptural principles as we do them. And I'll have more on that later. All manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And when we are to be holy, the things that we do have to have something to do with displaying who we are. And so if we are born again and we are saved, we're going to do the works of saved people. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And you know, tonight we want to come together and read our standard of practice, our way of doing things. We're wanting to read that together as a brotherhood. And I'm concerned that when we do this, that there is a drawing together here and that there is love for brotherhood flowing. And when there's love for brotherhood, there's love for unity. There's love for Christ. And realizing that we live in a world that's trying to draw us away from our own lust and be enticed away from Jesus Christ. We realize that. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, for the sake of his body, for the sake of the brotherhood. And it also talks about to our government or unto governors or as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. We can be buffeted for the mistakes that we make. But what about being buffeted for the good that we do? For the things we're doing which is right? For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us. Christ did that which was right, and he suffered for it. For us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. We were as sheep going astray, and now we are all together, back to the shepherd and bishop of our souls as a brotherhood that loves each other and is united. I have discovered in studying for this message that I have my faults. I have my shortcomings. I really do. when it comes to loving the brotherhood. And you've often heard that a chain is not stronger than the weakest link. Well, who is the brother in here, folks, that you like the least? Or who is the sister in here that you like the least or you love the least? Is that how strong your chain is connected to God? Just a question. I'd like to break in here and go to an interesting verse in Philippians 4. It's verse 2. He says here in verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Then he says this, "I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord." To me, there is a huge story behind Paul saying, "I am beseeching these two women in the church that they be of the same mind in the Lord." What did they have going on? He writes it in this letter. "I beseech," and he names the two women, "I beseech that they be of the same mind in the Lord." What kind of quarrel did they have going? Something was going on that Paul felt the need to beseech them to be of the same mind. Now, can you imagine if those two are not getting along with each other and they spread their rumors and gossip or whatever out into the brotherhood or to other sisters? What does that do to love for the brotherhood? What did that do? And that's all it says. He says, "Then, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel." We also heard from Henry's mentions about what is the perfect will of God. How do we as a brotherhood be in the perfect will of God when there's so many different ways to do things? And I know, you know, there seems to be 100 different churches out there taking 100 different routes, and all of them say they want to get to heaven. And here some time ago, I had a person that just in, I don't know, it was maybe not out of frustration, but out of confusion, asked me the question, "How in the world are we supposed to know what to do when there's 100 different churches out there doing things 100 different ways and they're all trying to get to heaven? How do you make sense out of all the confusion?" What would you say? Well, you know, I feel led to share to you today what my conclusion is. And I'm sorry if for you it's not simple, and maybe I'm making something too simple. I don't know. But I came to the conclusion that every one of them can be right. It is right for them. And what is right for them might not be right for me. And see, when we love the brotherhood, it's not just this brotherhood that we love, but we love other brotherhoods as well. Here, some time ago, we were in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, some years ago. And I saw something that I thought was very funny. It was a man, he had a New Holland round baler hooked to a team of horses. And there was a motor on the baler, and he was baling his hay. And I thought, that looked so funny, going across the field with this team of horses with this modern piece of machinery and a motor on it to run it. Why in the world could he not use the tractor's motor? I mean, what's the difference, you might say? But I have to conclude that there is a story behind that. That Amish church, if they decide that that is what they want and it helps to unify their members, we need to bless them and respect them for that. Why should we not? If we love the brotherhood, we will show that honor and respect to all these different churches who are doing things these different ways. Because when you look back a little further, we all come from different backgrounds. We all had different parents. We all were brought up by people who saw things differently from each other. But do you know that we can still all be bound together by brotherly love and have honor and respect to all these different people and all these different churches? I would say for every one of them that that is right for them. God bless them. And what we're doing here is right for us. And we want God's blessing on us. And I think it's the different routes Henry was talking about. I'd like to go to 1 Corinthians in chapter 14. He is talking here about speaking in tongues. He is talking here about confusion. Now, if you look at all these different ways of doing things, it could become confusing if you think that people are doing that to be saved. Where is someone here who would ask this question? Or would say or make this statement that I can prove to you that I'm saved. I can prove it to you. And he would say, how? How can you prove it? Well, look what I'm doing. We would know that that is pretty far off from what the Word of God says. So let's not look at all the different things that people are doing and condemn them or come to the conclusion that they're trying to do that to be saved. Let's not do that. Let's love their brotherhood and realize that for the way they were brought up, that is quite likely right for them. So how do you make sense when God loves order? The Bible says, let all things be done decently and in order. And then he says, furthermore here, in verse 33, and he's talking about speaking in tongues. And he goes on and says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches. There's another place where it says that where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So when there is envying and strife, things are not good. Things become confusing. We don't have to strive about all these different things, all these different ways of doing things. We don't have to strive about that. Let's not make something a problem when it is not a problem. But let's show honor and respect to people who do things differently than what we do. Now, within a brotherhood, Brother Henry read the scripture about being of the same mind and speaking the same things. That is a wonderful verse when it comes to loving the brotherhood. And even within our church, see, there's so many different things we can do. We don't all wear the same color shoes. We don't all comb our hair the same way. We don't all wear the same color shirts and clothes. And there's many different choices that we can make, even within a brotherhood that does not tear down love for the brotherhood. And we honor that. We respect that. But when people come together as a brotherhood to consider certain things, which we are about to do, there is something that we are wanting you as a brotherhood to consider. Would, and in our standard, Well, as was said in the announcement, we'll be reading part of this standard tonight, and I hope I don't get ahead of myself, but and I support everything in our standard because our standard addresses our way of life. It says here, Scripture is not always specific about many details in the life and practice of a Christian, but teaches principles upon which we can build our way of life, mutually agreed upon by the fellowship. And then it talks about the purpose of this agreement, to help maintain purity and faithfulness in the life of the individual, to help maintain. For me, in short, what a standard means to me is that we are wanting to create an atmosphere or an environment that is conducive for our children to come to Christ. In other words, we're wanting, if we would not, if you as fathers would not have rules for your home, and some of the rules, you have more rules, you are responsible to make practical application in your home as to Bible principles. Because, see, when we live and we do things a certain way, we know that depending how someone does their things, it can grow into something that becomes unscriptural. Maybe some of you dads have a 10-second rule. When you tell your son to do something, you give him 10 seconds to respond and obey. Maybe some of you have 5 seconds. Maybe some of you have a half a minute. I don't know how you do things. And I believe you likely would agree, all of you would agree, that one time said is enough. Are you bringing up your child that he learns that he needs to be told 3 times before he does something? Well, how do you show your child that dad even means what he says? It seems to me that would be confusing, don't you? But there's still different ways. You know, and every child that makes a mistake doesn't have to be whipped. There's different ways to punish our children. And we do that, but in whatever way it is, folks, we're wanting to bring our child to the Lord. We're wanting him to come to the Lord and appreciate God and wanting to be saved by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That should be every. And I talked with a father who had a burden on his heart. The evening that one of the Bible school programs, he knows so well what it means when I have a child who does not walk in truth. He knows what John was saying, that I have no greater love than to see that my children walk in truth. And this standard that we have is not the gospel truth. Let's not mix this up by the way we do these things, that this is the only way to do it. No, there's many different ways to do things. But what God smiles at is we can all get together as a brotherhood and agree that, you know, this is what we want. And let's not have the assumption that, you know, in the thing that we're considering now, if it goes through, see, there was nothing wrong with this all along. I would plead with you not to make that assumption, because there is a time to everything. If there is a church out there that is struggling with disunity because of the internet, we are most unkind if we say, see, there was nothing wrong with the internet all along. No, there are times when you have to work with a brotherhood, and unity is important in the brotherhood, is it not? So there might be a period of time that needs to be given. Maybe some years, I don't know how long, but let's love the brotherhood and let's work for unity in the brotherhood. And if after a period of time, like our standard says, if any of the following regulations appear to be impractical and inconsistent for the time and circumstances, and the fellowship feels a change would honor and glorify God and help maintain scriptural unity and purity in the church, and indicates this by a vote, then a change is in order. And I agree with that. I agree with this charter. I love this charter. It's just one way out of many of doing things, but I love it. Let's honor and respect our Amish friends who feel that For their church, it's better to drive horses and buggies. Let's honor them and respect that. You know, we had people here who started a church out of this church. Well, that hurt. Yeah, let's be honest. It hurt. But if we condemn them or if we disrespect them, don't think that God is going to respect us as a church. Let's give people the benefit of the doubt at times. Let's hang together with what we have and build this and realize that we are not the only ones that are right. There's different ways of doing things. But whatever makes for unity, for a unified brotherhood, that is so sweet and precious in the sight of God. So if you have a problem, what is being issue conscious? Over the years, I've heard that quite a bit, about being issue conscious. What is that? Most of us likely would agree that someone who is issue conscious is wrapped up in looking at externals instead of the true meaning of life and of how we feel we should live. It's looking at external things and wondering, what else could I have? And what else could I have? And wanting more things. Or it could be the other way around. We need to be more plain. We need to be more conservative. We need to put this away. This isn't right and that isn't right. So, you know, if you sit here and you are in the issue that we're facing now of a change, if you sit here and you are saying that, oh, I hope this goes through. I hope this goes through. I want this thing and I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it. For your sake, I'd like to be hoping it won't go through. And if you're sitting here saying that, you know, I will not accept it. I don't want this. We don't need this. Then for your sake, I hope it goes through. Is that too rich? Which one of your children, if he is determined to have a certain thing, well, you just give it to him. And if us adults descend into some kind of fleshly lust or our own desire, instead of having the brotherhood first and unity of the brotherhood first, if we descend into some kind of thing like that, why should we have what we want? I'm just asking the question. Brother Henry also mentioned something in his last message. Is it right for a man who, is it right for a preacher? This is my own words. But is it right for a preacher to tell another preacher that you can't preach in our church because you have zippered pants? And I don't mean to answer that question for you, but I would like to tell you where I came out on that. Only to, you know, try to bring clarity. First of all, when you look at viewing at loving the brotherhood, you know best what works for your church. And I would say, by and large, if a minister says that to another minister, he is likely right. Maybe it's misdirected. If that minister thinks that zippered pants is going to keep that person out of heaven, he's very, very likely wrong. But a lot of times, and I face this when I travel to other communities. Are they going to ask me to preach? What do I do when they call me and tell me, Norman, we really can't let you preach in our church because y'all have the internet? What do I do with that? Should I allow that to lessen my love for their brotherhood? No. I should long for their brotherhood to have unity and to stand together. If they have a few persons there in their congregation that don't feel good about having the internet, why should they allow me to preach there then? And if it could be a thing of confusing someone, especially their children. See, God is not the author of confusion. God wants all things done decently and in order. So I bless people who are concerned about the unity of their brotherhood, who would rather not have other preachers come in and create some kind of confusion for their children or young people or anybody else. I bless them for that. I honor them for that. And if we put the shoe on the other foot, our son is married to a non-Mennonite girl. I did not want to see that. And I tried my best to persuade him not to. But he went ahead and did that. And I asked advice from some other bishops because I struggled with this thing. I asked advice from some other bishops. I've traveled to another community and asked him, how should I handle this thing? And let's look at this in view of loving the brotherhood and of being scriptural in every way that we can. And I took his advice. He had a brother who was non-Mennonite, who left the plain circles and went non-Mennonite. And I took his advice. But if I back up a little bit, now my son's father-in-law, his name is Brent Lay, and he is a senior pastor in Southside Baptist Church in Jackson. Their church has been growing by leaps and bounds, and on a Sunday morning they have a membership of over 3,000. And I know that there are mega churches and their numbers are increasing and so on. But when my son started dating his daughter, he was like, whoa, who are the Mennonites anyway? And he started studying who the Mennonites are and what they stand for. And he got to the point where he wondered, Gene, are you sure you want to do this? And the last time when they were here, they visited in our house. And he wrote up a comprehensive view on Calvinism. And we know that the Baptists, they preach eternal security. Once saved, always saved. And Brent told me he does not believe that. This man is searching to be scriptural. Why should I not bless him in his church? Now, if he would come to our service, should we allow him to preach? See, that's the question. If somebody come, if we go to other people and they don't allow us to preach there, what about somebody who is more liberal than what we feel like, and even if their church is doing something that is not exactly how we see it or how we read the Bible? Just because we don't want him to preach in our church, because we're wanting to have things done decently and in order, is there something wrong with that? See, even God made people with a herd instinct. He made animals that way. And let's have, when we have all these different churches, realizing that they come from so many different backgrounds, let there be an assemblance of order before our God. Let things be done decently and in order. There are times that it's just not in order to allow somebody to preach here that is quite different than what we feel good about in our way of doing things. But I sure bless them in the circles where they are. We should honor them. We should respect them. And we should wish them God's blessing in their work. So the encouragement here is to love the brotherhood, not just our local brotherhood, but let's love all the brotherhoods who come together to worship on a Sunday morning, and the lights, the Spirit of God's light is glowing there. It's bringing them together in unity, and let them worship our God in truth and in spirit and in unity, saying the same things. The Bible has a lot to say, or it does talk about modesty and moderation. Do you believe that? Suppose we would have, every one of us men would have butched our hair for years already, and nobody knows anything different. And then all of a sudden, someone comes by with it combed the way I have. Would that be moderation? Well, when we talk about moderation, we're talking about a sameness and not standing out too much. So if we are all combing it the way we are and somebody comes by with some kind of strange different things that is very different from what we're used to, the Bible is talking, let's tone it down and let's kind of be the same here as much as we can. Now, if a church is unified and makes that decision in a unified way within the brotherhood, then that is acceptable with God. He says that in Matthew. I'm not near done, but you know, there are things that our young people have to do with in this life, and we need to give clear direction. And just lately we had this Bible school, and there are some of you who went to the Bible school, and I bless you for that. I thank their ministers for allowing our young people to go to their Bible school. And you know, Bible schools have standards, and it's quite likely that y'all could not dress exactly the way you do here to go to that Bible school. I don't know. I did not read their standard, but I know Calvary Bible School has a standard, and it would make sense for me if these people also have a standard for young people. Now, when you get together to have Bible school, it's not to go get together to see how you comb your hair or how do you see various clothes and all the other things you do. So why should there not be a sameness there so that we can not be issue conscious, and we can just get together and study the Word of God to see what it says and develop friendships that are close and unifying and so on. I believe that is good. And if you're a person that will not go to Bible schools because I have to dress a certain way, maybe you really need the Bible school. You likely do. You know, we talk about fasting. Jesus talked about fasting. He talked about denying this body what it wants so that we can grow closer to God. Well, what about going on a clothes fast? We don't need to just wear anything we want to. Why don't we come under a certain situation where we deny ourselves some things? What makes for love of the brotherhood? What makes for love of a Bible school? It's functioning together in unity and in love. What makes for that? It is past time. I still am not near done, and I don't know if I will preach more on this. But let's look at, as we face the issue in front of us, let's keep in mind that what I want, and I say this for myself, what I want is not that important. But what is important for me is that I am unified with this body of believers, with this brotherhood, and I am willing to sacrifice. I am willing to sacrifice my opinion because of my love for you. I am willing to do that. If there are some here who feel that now is not the time and now is not in order, or you feel that there is some danger, our standard says that extreme caution should be given before we change something. But that if we have good reasons for wanting something different, then let's bring that to the brotherhood and collectively make a decision. But if my way of doing things is more important than my love for being unified and loving the brotherhood, I'm afraid I'm way off. First of all, my love for God and my love for brotherhood, I want to practice that. I want to be committed to you. God cannot be any more committed to us than we are to him. Let's kneel to pray.